둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
No, I hate doing hair and makeup for an interview.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating. Leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. We've, of course, had some great guests drop by lately. Tori Amos was just here. Martin Cove, you know him as John Kreese from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. Maren Morris, Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals, Adele, Hank Azaria. Not only a great movie star and does over 100 voices on The Simpsons, but he's also got a Bruce Springsteen tribute band that we got to chat about. I talked with the stars and creatives behind Citadel Diana and Citadel Honey Bunny, playing now on Prime Video. Suzanne Vega was here, Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, Sting, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with legendary filmmaker John Waters. He is back with A John Waters Christmas, his annual holiday tour that twists tradition with his sharp satirical edge. Of course, known for making even the most wholesome holidays delightfully dark, John's hitting the road with new material, promising fans advice on how to talk dirty with just Christmas words and other unexpected tips. And we'll be talking about the tour. We're also going to be talking about the release of his new Sub Pop 45, featuring his cover of the Singing Dogs version of Jingle Bells on one side and his spoken word piece, It's a Punk Rock Christmas, on the other. We'll dig into the 30th anniversary of Serial Mom, which he calls his best movie ever. Would love to know your thoughts on that as well. All of that and more. Let's get into this, talking about A John Waters Christmas. It's Kyle Meredith with the legend himself, John Waters.
Hello, how are you?
Very excited to talk to you. You're back. You're doing your things. You're staying busy. I should just say I was just in LA. I got to see that great exhibit.
Oh, they did it. The Academy did a wonderful. Imagine that the Academy Awards gave me, 11 rooms of stuff in a gift shop that sold T-shirts and said he'll make you sick. How did that ever happen?
How did that ever happen? Huh?
I don't know. It is amazing. I was astonished the entire year I did stuff with them. They were great curators. They were all for it. But it is amazing. That just proves to anybody that's a kid starting out, when everybody says everything they do is terrible, don't listen. Just keep going. If you can last and keep a sense of humor about yourself, that's very important, that they come around and they accept it later.
And they do. Well, you make good pieces of arts. And it finally starts to be seen by the right people. I will say, I was with my son,
who I don't think had been completely introduced to you. Like he said, he had your name in his head. He saw all of that. That so that was his introduction to you, was that exhibit, and went home and immediately started kind of like searching things out. So,
well, how old is he?
He just turned 17.
Okay, so that's illegal to have him see some of those movies. You better be careful. They arrest parents for that today. When I was young, parents called the police when their kids had it. Today, people said, my parents took me to Pink Flamingos. I thought, they did? My parents paid for the movie. I paid them back, and they never saw it.
Yeah, wow.
Well, the reason is, who wants to sit with their kid and watch Pink
Flamingos? No, that's what I was going to say. I saw stuff that I was definitely maybe too young to see, but I saw it on my own. I definitely did not see it with my parents. And as my son has grown up, you know, it's like, I know he's going to watch stuff. See it. It's, you know, it's all art in some direction. I just don't want to be in the room when it happens.
Yeah. Even when I do my shows like this Christmas show, my brothers and sisters used to say, I'm not sitting next to mom when you say that stuff.
I don't blame them. I don't. Well, let's talk about this. You've been doing this Christmas tour for a while. I see you are going to come close to me in from Louisville here in Cincinnati on December 14th, but you're going
two shows. I got two in Cincinnati, 13 and 14.
Oh, nice. Okay. But you've been doing this for well over
decades, longer than that. And even before that, I do another spoken word show all year that's not a Christmas show. The new one now is called The Naked Truth, but it's been called many things. But I rewrite the shows once a year, completely new material. That's like writing a little book every year. And plus, I have to memorize it. That's the hard part. I've written the new Christmas show. I start memorizing it Monday.
Yeah. When did you start writing this one?
This one, I started writing it at the end of the summer because I have to write, first of all, the new show that I do all year that's now called The Naked Truth. And I preview that at the Jumwater Summer Camp that we have every year where people come and live as my characters for 4 days in Connecticut. Then I did it in Minneapolis, a Halloween show for the first time. But then that part of that becomes the Christmas show. And so I have to unmemorize one and memorize the new one. So it is, and if it was 70 minutes of someone else wrote it, I could never memorize it. Even when I'm in movies, I'm not great at memorizing lines. But if you write it, it's a little easier to memorize, definitely.
So that's it. So writing something every year, and this being the Christmas show, like at this point, where are you going to mine for details? Are you still going back? Like, do you have that many stories back in your life, or how does it work?
Well, these are new stories. These are advice about like how to talk dirty with just Christmas words. You know, I have to come up with a different Christmas jokes all year. And I think of stuff whenever I see things. And you can turn a lot of good punchlines into a Christmas punchline. You just have bad little boy lists or good little thems or, you know, knocking the Christmas tree over can stand for a lot of different rebel activities.
It's that old joke, as long as you say, you know what I mean, right afterwards.
No, I don't say that. What I hate the most now is newscasters that say, look. We are looking. We're watching you. I hate they say that. Look, Trump's ahead. Look, we are looking. Please stop saying look. They all say it now. Look, Santa's coming.
So now I'm going to ask one of the obvious questions. I'm sure this will come up. But what is it about Christmas that's kept you coming back this whole time? Like, why is that such a rich holiday, but really a subject that you can mine over and over? What is it about Christmas?
Because people fear it, people love it, people hate it, people have anxiety about it. And my show covers all that, no matter what you, even if you're non-Christian. And then you think, why do I have to listen to Silent Night? I don't blame them for being angry, you know? But at the same time, I am traditional about it. It's my turn to have a family Christmas dinner at my house, and it's very traditional. But it's sort of traditional. I mean, at the same time, I don't have a tree. I decorate the electric chair if it was in female trouble. But it's a tradition in my house. All my aunts, all my nieces and nephews, they all say, I'm not staying in your house, though. It's too scary. They all say that because I have characters from Chucky in the living room and stuff that I was in the Chucky movie. And the little kids get scared of that some. But I'm the crazy uncle.
Sure.
But they like that. They like that. I bring them all the swag and stuff, but I have to be careful because I don't realize that I've given an 8-year-old a bossy bottom t-shirt.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with John Waters.
I'm not really surprised, you know, at the Christmas thing, because when I do look back at your work, And the way you've always put that mirror on that wholesome, sometimes Rockwellian view,
Yeah.
that people have, like it feels like Christmas really does work the best, especially in that context, that narrative.
Well, yeah, and definitely. I mean, the scene where Divine knocks the Christmas tree over on her mother in Female Trouble has become a classic. It shows at Christmas all the time. And many people from doing the Christmas tour have told me about their Christmas tree falling over. It happens a lot. It's usually the dog or liquor is involved with the mother. So, but I hear all the stories. It happens a lot. So I think a really punk rock thing would be to have it so you purposely open your last big present and it's rigged so it falls over on the whole family and everybody screams. You can turn bad things into a tradition, or have a Christmas where you purposely give everyone a present you know they'd hate. That can really be fun. We did it 1 year. People gave me all the soundtracks to the Rocky movies.
Did you listen to
No, I throw them out the window, and I lived in a high rise then. It was probably not very responsible.
but it makes for a good story. And maybe somebody ended up with those if they didn't crack on the way down,
Well, no, if they didn't die from getting hit with them, you don't throw things out of. I was younger, man, and more reckless.
Well, and that's a good segue because you've recorded two songs. Well, you've recorded two recordings, I should say. One of them is a song that I'll ask about with the singing dogs. But since you already mentioned it, it's a punk rock Christmas.
That's the other side. That's the spoken word thing, which you can gather around the tree with your punk rock family and listen every year. It's like, going to grandma's house or the 12 days of Christmas, a punk rock Christmas. But then if you want your guests to leave, you just play, I cover the barking dog singing Jingle Bells, the most hated Christmas song. I feel like Cat Power covering Bob Dylan.
I usually have that poster behind me on my other set. That's hilarious that you specifically said Cat Power covering Bob Dylan.
It's
I
a
have the
great
poster for
album.
that
She did a
album.
great job. Yeah, I
Yeah.
think she did a great job. Yeah. But so this is a song that everyone hates. However, it's a huge hit song. It plays on the radio every year and people lunge to change the channel. It's really obnoxious. So I just want, and it even says on the cover of the record, please do not play this record. I've never seen that.
Yeah, is that you barking?
Arf, arf, arf. Yes, I can do it live in person anywhere. I don't even need karaoke.
That's great. But like, I don't know. Like, here's what I want to do, right? This is fun, obviously. This is a very fun thing, but this is also some high art happening, is the
Well,
way I
thank
see
you.
it.
I always, when anybody says to me and I meet them, I say, "What do you do?" They say, "I'm an artist." I think, really? I'll be the judge of that. History will be the judge of that. So I never say I'm an artist, but certainly if you want to call it that, I'm happy. I call it my brand, as I'm always putting out humorous things. Like I don't expect anybody really to play this record, but it's nice to have it. You'll sleep better if you own it and it's sitting in your record collection somewhere.
And you can get it on Sub Pop, which
Yeah, they did some other records I did too. Yeah, they did. I covered It's in the Book, which was a 50s novelty song that was number one that very few people remember. And I did Prayer to Pasolini, where I went to where he was murdered and spoke in tongues. It's they're obscure. They're zooming to the bottom of the charts.
But when I think of, especially your affinity with Warhol in the early days and the cans and the silver, what like this fits in that category to me. Am I gonna play it? Yeah, I'm gonna play it every once in a while. I'm about a once in a while.
Well, Andy invented branding almost, and he offered at one point to pay for Female Trouble, but I said no because it would have been Andy Warhol's Female Trouble, and it was lovely he said that. Nobody else was offering, but no, of course Andy influenced everybody to this day. That's why I wrote a chapter in one of my books of sticking up for him. Why is he the villain now in books and movies? We would have never heard of these other people without him, and now they're all saying, oh, he didn't think of anything. He was autistic or whatever. No, he wasn't. He was a really good artist. The only person that did everything before him was, I don't know. I don't know. I'll say Andy did everything first, pretty much.
But that's and not to harp on this too much, but like when I think of your branding, as you're saying, and the expectations that some fans might have when you're coming out with anything, whether it's the stage show or something like this, one of the movies or whatever, like there is that expectation of what you provide. How Is it just natural for you? Do you lean into it because of those expectations? Do you even put that much thought into it?
Yeah, I put a thought into it, but it's parroting branding. You know, who would put that out? I mean, I have like, I don't think I can say it on the radio.
You can say
I?
Anything on this.
I have a cum rag that's come out. All right. There's the first celebrity cum rag I have. It's out now, came out at Christmas. Got my picture on it. I don't think there's another one.
I can't
no
even.
No dude wipe.
I know what I'm getting my mom for the Christmas that present that nobody wants.
Yeah, right. After you give her the DVD to the director's cut of Irreversible.
Right. And by the way, here's John Waters' gum rag. Enjoy. Yeah. But you still get away from that. And I think the point I was getting to is like, I remember growing up, and that was pre-internet days, and because of the silos that we were in and the mystery that existed, and this stuff, you know, became legendary hilarity. And when I think that that doesn't exist anymore because of how pop art has really, you know, for a lot of times caught up with what you and what Andy was doing and stuff like that, yet you still find a way to do it with your own celebrity cum rag.
Well, I think, yeah. And at the same time, though, because it used to be if you didn't live in New York or San Francisco or LA, you couldn't see anything. But now with the internet, you don't. I always tell people, don't leave where you're born, no matter where it is. Just make it better there. And that would make America so great. Yeah.
Yeah, because it is. I mean, everybody starts moving, everybody starts leaving. We lose the localness of a lot of people. The scenes, I can't tell if it's that I'm older, but I don't see them anymore. But it feels like the scenes are gone in the same
way. The local color has vanished, definitely. And even in Baltimore, all the dive bars I wrote about in one of my books, they're all gone. Every location for Pecker is gone. It's a different world, but you know, we adapt to it and we do a whole new version of it. You have to just keep going. I hate people to say it was better when I was young. That just means you're an old fart.
Right. And I was trying not to
know
what
it means. You don't know what's going on now.
Exactly. That's where I was trying not to get to. It's like, I don't see it. I don't know if it's me or if it's real, you know, but
you need youth spies. Everybody needs several youth spies. It's a position that's always open at my office.
So I got that kid hanging around me.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with John Waters.
Punk Rock Christmas, this B-side, your spoken word thing. Like, it is a fun, very fun bit of wordplay. But on that second level, you know, that high art that I'm talking about, like when you say, why are punks not part of the new diversity? Like, that's the moment when I feel like, and especially in the stuff that we're talking about too, you know, when things change and you try to meet the moments, but there are like, I'm not going to try to put words in your mouth. Like, what does that line?
That means like the same thing I say, that we could chant punk lives don't matter. You know, to have a diversity outsider thing that doesn't want to be included, but still is, that punks are never mentioned in diversity. I think there should be a punk rock first lady. They should be a punk rock Met Ball. There should be a punk rock everything. And it's easy to imagine that. It's easy to imagine it. And it usually is good because you don't need money to be a punk. You need nerve.
But it's also become couture?
Yes. Well, couture is always based on the young people that get something. You want to be really famous, really stylish. You go to the thrift shop when you're 17 and buy the one thing that no one has ever bought, even in the thrift shop, and start wearing it. And you start a trend. Don't buy designer clothes when you're young. You need it. My age, I pay a lot of money to look poor.
That's a good line right there.
Oh, and it's Dolly Parton's line. She paid a lot of money to look this trashy, she said. Looking poor is different. Like, the clothes I buy have holes in it and stains and everything on purpose. And my dry cleaner, always when I take them in for the first time, said, I didn't do this. I say, I know. I paid a lot for that. Don't take that stain out.
I had her on the show earlier this year, and she said that. She said a version of that line. She goes, I wanted to look trashy. I didn't want to be trashy, but I just wanted to look trashy.
I always said if she got out of drag and played a junkie, she'd win the Oscar in 1 second.
I wish she'd take you up on that.
She'd be great. Yeah. But I know people that know her. She's never out of drag. She sleeps like that, I think. Good for her. No one dislikes Dolly Parton.
No one
No,
dislikes
that's what I mean. No one dislikes her. That is an amazing thing. And she's fairly extreme looking.
True, true. But everybody loves her, and she's got a heart of gold, or at least, and she can cuss like a sailor at the same time. All the best qualities. Real quick, I also want to ask. So the record's out. So everybody should get that, and the Christmas tour. And it's been a long time since you've done with the movies, but there was also that always that rumor about was it Liar Mouth? Was
Yeah,
that?
well, it was going to happen. They optioned the book. I wrote the script. They loved it. Aubrey Plaza wanted to star in it, and then nobody gave us the budget. So it might get made one day. It's not getting made right now.
All, but you're just waiting on the budget. Somebody to say, here's the
Well,
money.
they all said no. So we don't have anybody to wait for right now. But things change. People run studios, they change every 6 months. So we'll see. I got plenty of jobs. I got plenty of jobs.
I hope that comes to fruition. I would love
Me
to see
too.
it.
Me too.
And in the meantime, I'll end by saying I had a really good time. I went back and watched Serial Mom because it's 30th anniversary year of that one, and watched that in a bit. What a brilliant movie.
That's my best movie. That's my best movie, definitely. And Kathleen's so great in it. And
So great.
no, it's definitely my best movie. We had the most budget. We had, I mean, I don't know. It just worked. It was like before OJ, but it kind of feels like it was predicting that, and certainly. And so yeah, I'm real proud of that movie. Thank you for liking.
Yeah, love seeing L7 on there. Had never realized that was Patty Hearst in
Oh
the
yeah.
jury.
And
That's
yeah, Patty Hearst, yeah. And she, the white shoes and the note were in the Academy show and everything. I'm still, it's the only thing I'm right wing on is you can't wear white shoes after late. I mean, it really is a fashion sin.
What is the great line from 30 Rock, the Alec Baldwin line? It's a why are you in a tux? It's after 6 o'clock. What am I, a farmer?
Yeah.
You should have standards.
I mean, well, there's other things. You're not supposed to wear velvet before Thanksgiving. You're not supposed to wear patent leather before Easter. There's all sorts of, you can really get down to it. Yeah. And I believe in all of it.
I love that, and that's what one of the many things we love about you.
Thank you very much.
I cannot wait to see you out on this tour again, John.
Barf, barf, barf.
I'm really happy I got my own version of that one right there too. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk. Seriously,
Thanks for
it's a real
having me.
pleasure.
All right, bye-bye.
My thanks to John Waters. The John Waters Christmas tour is happening this December. You can find those details and dates on his website, and his new 45 is out now on Sub Pop. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Three a week, just like this one, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists, discover those new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get your podcasts from, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Sam Phillips, The Resilios, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Nirvana, Foo Fighters, The Smiths, let's see, Soul Coughing, Billie Holiday, Glenn Hansard, Rufus Wainwright, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Soccer Mommy, Jason Isbell, The Shins, Moon Taxi, and my interview with The Offspring. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Okie doke.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.